Williams. Play action and boom! He's buried. It was Antoine Winfield. Intercepted by E.J. Henderson.
And it's Jared Allen.
And it's intercepted by Chad Greenway.
And there he goes. Percy Harvin is gone.
It's Vikings Tonight on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Your weekly connection to Minnesota Vikings football. Vikings Tonight is brought to you by U.S. Bank, Verizon, and Mall of America.
Touchdown Vikings!
Now, here's your host of Vikings Tonight, the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
Indeed, it's Vikings Tonight on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network, and a pleasant good evening to you wherever you may be, specifically those of you on the flagship, FM 100.3 The Fan. We are less than 2 months. We are about 2 months from the Vikings' first preseason game, then the regular season opener at home against the Jacksonville Jaguars. More on that coming up later with Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com, who joins the conversation now, along with Minnesota Vikings special teams coordinator Mike Prefer. Coach Prefer, Wobby and Paul Allen, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. We're doing okay, sir. Organized team activities from a special team standpoint. What do you look to get accomplished?
Well, we've had two great week of practices. We've done a lot of fundamental work, a lot of foundation, setting the foundation, laying the groundwork, so to speak, for all the four core phases. And we've done a lot of field goal work with our young new field goal kicker. And I think we've had two real good weeks. I'm real pleased with everything, the direction that we're going in.
Your young field goal kicker, I was going to bring that up later, but since you mentioned him, a lot of people are going to be curious, are going to be watching him, and it's obviously too early to make a watertight judgment on him. But so far, what have you seen from him?
Well, here, what we knew coming out of Georgia was we knew he had a big-time leg, and that's, he's already proved that he does have that. We did kickoffs earlier today in practice, and he did a great job with the kickoffs into the wind, with the wind, and he's going to give our kickoff team an opportunity to pin people down deep. That's what we're hoping for, and I think he's going to give us that. I know he's going to give us that. In terms of field goals, he's done a great job. He's a very coachable young man. He's worked on his technique. We're trying to slow him down a little bit. That was his major problem when he was at Georgia. He was going too fast. And even many of the kicks that he missed as a senior, he missed them because he was too fast with his get-off time. And for those, anybody knows about kicking, if you're rushing a kicker and he doesn't see the ball long enough, it's very difficult for him to make that kick. So we've backed him up, we've slowed him down, and we've changed his technique a little bit. And he's done a really nice job since he's been here.
So, Mike, too fast with the get-off time or having that speedy problem you're talking about, was that just last year or all of his run at Georgia?
Well, I think before his sophomore, junior, he was up around 90%. You guys have the numbers. And when he did make the kicks, typically they were pretty good, 1-2-3, 1-2-4 type get off. I'm looking for a 1-2-7 to 1-3-1 type get off. And even though a tenth of a second doesn't seem like a lot of time, it really is for that whole operation. It's a high percentage. And some coaches like it faster. I'm the guy that, we should protect it long enough for a 1-2-7 to 1-3-1 get off. And that's what he's working towards right now.
I know we don't look into the past too frequently, specifically, sir, when you're coming off of 3-13, but yeah, you can't dispute Ryan Longwell not only hit a bunch of game winners here, like 19 in his career total, maybe 20 with Green Bay, but he's one of the most accurate kickers in the history of the NFL. What are some of the fondest memories that you had with Ryan while you guys were here together?
Well, it was only a year, but, Ryan's a true pro. He handled everything, every obstacle that we had or every success that he had as a true professional. I appreciate everything he did for this organization, even before, obviously, that I got here. Obviously, when you come off a tough season, there aren't a lot of fond memories to begin with. And losing really irks me. It really eats away at me, and I'm still bothered by it. I'm trying to forget a lot of that stuff that happened last year. But there were some positive things that came out of last year, and that's what we're going to build on. We're going to go from there. We're going to keep building. We're going to keep getting this roster better and better. I'm excited about the direction that we're going.
You're talking about Blair Walsh's get-off time and timing with field goals. A big part of that is the battery with which he operates. And for you, you have two guys who return as part of that battery, and Chris Cluey, the punter, who also has served as your holder, and then Cullen Leffler. Now, Cullen, coming back from an injury, he's a long snapper. I don't think a lot of people pay attention to an injury that they might sustain, but you obviously do. So he's back at OTAs. How is he doing?
He's doing great. His back is fine. He had surgery on his foot to to fix a problem that he used to have, and he's doing great. He's 100%. He's ready and raring to go. He's snapping the ball well. He's becoming more of a vocal leader with our special teams, which I've asked him to be because he's got that type of personality, and people like him, and they know that he's got leadership skills. And I know it's kind of funny as a snapper to ask a guy to do that, but he's got that ability, and Chris has done a great job, and he's working really, really hard as a holder. We got him using the jugs every single day during practice, the low jugs, so we're going to get him more and more holds. And I think part of the problem, I'm a real stickler about the holder. I go out of my way to coach that guy up the right way, and we've done a lot of work with that. We didn't have the opportunity to do that with no OTAs or the spring last year, and I think we're getting to the point where, you know, he's improving every day, and he's going to give the holder exactly what he needs.
What did you like about the coverage teams last year, Mike?
I think we got a lot of guys with speed. We got a lot of guys that can run that are bigger people. I think we got guys that we have a lot of want to, and I think our personnel people have done a great job of adding to that mix. We've got a lot of competition in a lot of different positions, and that competition includes special teams. So I'm very, very excited about our roster and the direction that we're going, like I said earlier. And I think we covered kickoffs well most of the year, but we let a few get outside on us, and we didn't set the edge like we needed to. We covered punts well most of the year, but we let a few out the gate that should never get out the gate, not with what we do, not with the talent that we have on our team. So it's my job to keep working the roster, tweaking the roster, getting the right guys on the field, and hopefully we're only going to get better.
Minnesota Vikings special teams coordinator Mike Prefer is our guest on Vikings Tonight on the Vikings Radio Network. I'm Paul Allen, joined weekly by Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com.
Coach Prefer, a high-profile spot for you is the return game, kickoff punt returner. And at OTAs, easy to notice that you have a lot of guys taking reps. I'm wondering your perspective on that. A lot of people want to whittle that down and find out who's going to do it right now, but is your perspective you want to find out who can do it so that you can stage a competition at camp?
Yeah, actually, I need a little bit of help whittling that list down. We do have a lot of guys out there, and you're exactly right. I'm trying to find out who can do it first, what type of athletes that we have on this team that can actually catch punts, which is a very difficult thing to do, especially compared to kickoffs and in the wind and some of the weather that we're playing in. But, we're trying to find the right guy or guys, and we're going to use a few guys in the preseason games. So who those guys are right now, I don't know. You're going to pull. We got 8 or 9 guys catching punts right now. We're going to pull them out of the hat. But the great thing is, like I said before, 4 guys that we have a lot of competition there. I've been at places where we have 1 guy, maybe 2, that can even catch a punt. Here we have 7 or 8 guys that can catch punts, and we're going to keep working some of these young rookies and see who find out, you know, who really wants to be that guy.
When it comes to kickoff return coach, you have one of the best in the NFL on our squad in Percy Harvin, but there's a lot of times where he'll get gassed or you don't want to give him too many reps so we can use him on offense. So what's your mindset with that? Would you rather have Percy some of the time and then go back to another guy some of the time, or would you rather just leave Percy on offense and then settle on another guy to take it full time?
No, I'm selfish. I want him all the time. He, like you said, Mike, he is one of the best in the NFL. I think he averaged over 32 yards a return last year, but he only had 16 returns. So whenever he's back there, I think it gives us a different element of productivity. He's an outstanding returner. He's going to scare a lot of people. He would make me nervous if I was on the kickoff, if I was coaching the other side. I'd like to have him all the time, and I think there's got to be a way that we can figure out having him back there all the time. And like I said, I'm selfish. I think it's the first down. It's the first play of an offensive series, and if they kick a touchback, great. He's not gassed, and he can go back on offense. And if he rips off a 35-yard return, we got great field position. Maybe give him a rest on offense and then put him back out there. But I think I'm realistic enough to know that he won't always be back there. So I have to find 2 or 3 guys that can replace him, or at least 1 that can replace him effectively.
Yep.
Kind of like we had last year. I mean, we were the only team in the NFL last year that had at least 3 68-plus yard returns. I mean,
wow.
We had 3 different people do that with Lorenzo Booker, Marcus Shrells, and, of course, Percy. He had 2 of them over 100. But the bottom line is having a guy that can go in there and still be a threat if Percy cannot be back there for us.
Mike, the rookie from Central Florida, the cornerback Josh Robinson, what distinguishes him with punt returning skills compared to the rest of the competition?
Well, Josh is kind of new to the punt return game. He's worked very, very hard this spring on it. He's only going to get better, in my opinion. He's a very, very smooth athlete. He's got incredible quickness. And the thing, Paul, that separates him from most people, and it's a great question, is that he has a great burst. Once he makes a cut and starts going upfield, he can really, really run. And that excites me a lot. And I think that, you know, having a guy like him in the mix is going to make us better.
What about Jarius Wright?
You know, Jarius is a guy, again, he doesn't have a lot of experience, but I know he was a backup at Arkansas, and he had some reps, especially as a junior. That's some of the tape that we focused on when we did do our all our homework. I sent my assistant, you know, Chris White went down there to work him out. He and the other returner they had down there that had four touchdowns last year that was drafted as well. I don't even know who he was drafted by, maybe Carolina.
Yeah.
But I think what we like about Jarius, he's got great quickness. He's got big play-making ability. He's also getting better. And a lot of these guys come from college ball, and they haven't really been taught the correct way to catch the ball, the correct way to set up return. It's very difficult for our colleges to have that done because they just don't have the time that we have. We're very fortunate to have all this time with our players. So I think the these guys, it's a lot of it's new to them. And so some guys learn a little bit quicker, a little bit faster than others. And Jarius is one of those guys that right now he's kind of in the let's wait and see. I'm learning. I'm trying to get better. And he has working hard. He's got a great attitude. He's a very coachable kid, and he's only going to get better.
Mike, what's tougher, learning how to fly a Navy helicopter, which you've done, or figuring out and sorting through a depth chart with a 90-man roster during OTAs? I mean, what's the process that you and Chris White, your assistant coach, go through to figure that out?
I like that question. Well, first of all, I'll bring up that only real men can hover. So right. I always saw we all saw the jet pilots that when I was in the Navy, but we used to joke around about that all the time. You know, people ask me all the time, you know, is it high pressure? It's a high pressure job being a coach in the NFL. And I just tell them that the pressure is landing a helicopter on the back of a small ship at night with no horizon and a bad sea state with a pilot that doesn't quite have the experience. And the co-pilot doesn't have a great experience, but because I've been there a few times. But no, I love coaching the NFL. I love the job I have. I thank the Lord every day for the opportunity I have. But I think one of the tougher things is, Mike, is that you brought that up, is the depth chart. You know, you have six different phases.
Yeah.
You got to go two deep at each phase. So that's, you know, that's a lot of different names. And, you know, if you lose a running back, you put the next running back in. If you lose the L3 on the kickoff team, well, he's starting on three other phases as well. And we're moving and shuffling guys around. And it's a jigsaw puzzle. I got a great assistant. Chris does a great job helping me out. We work well together. We always, you know, double check each other, make sure that we got the right guys in the right spots. And on game day, it can be kind of a circus on game day, especially if you lose a couple guys. But I relish that challenge. I think that's the fun part about it. That's why a lot of people don't want to be special teams coaches. It's a tough job, and there's really not a lot of glory in it. And people like Paul get mad at you when you don't play well, and he doesn't say anything when you do well. So, yep. You know, it's one of those things. No, I'm kidding. But it's a lot of fun, and I really enjoy it.
Well, okay. With that said, what's more difficult, landing that helicopter on that tiny boat spot, the depth chart, or keeping Devin Hester to under 25 yards per return on punts?
Ooh. Wow. That's a good question as well. I'm going to go back. I'm going to defer to the 16th game of the year. That's for the Devin Hester part. I thought we played him well there, and hopefully he won't go back and look at that tape. Hopefully he won't be angry by it. Well, maybe he'll forget about it. That's my only hope there. But no, I think landing a helicopter is probably the tougher thing to do. But
no doubt.
I've been blessed in being able to do both in my career. I wish I didn't face Devin Hester as much as we have to.
Special teams coordinator Mike Prefer, last one. Wobby, you get it.
Well, you just look, Coach, to last year's playoffs and the trouble that San Francisco had fielding a punt in the NFC Championship game that cost them dearly. Baltimore in the AFC Championship game had some trouble on their potential game-winning field goal. So, I mean, although it's like it feels like at practice – the special teams period is first, and it's almost like we get that done and then we get to everything else. But I think more and more people are seeing the importance that your phase has to the outcomes of games.
Well, yeah, you're exactly right. I think I'm very fortunate to work for a head coach like Coach Fraser. He gives me meeting time. He gives me practice time. He gives me individual time with guys. And I like the fact that we start practice with special teams because, to me, we set the tone for the rest of the practice.
Yeah.
We're a high-energy, high-motor type period. We get a lot done in a 15- or 20-minute period of time that we have. And the fact that we get to start practice and get to set the tone for the rest of the day, that's very exciting for me. And a lot of work goes into that 15 minutes behind the scenes. And then, of course, I take the specialist and we go inside or find a place outside to do our work, the rest of practice or whatever we need to work on. And we work on different situations. And, you know, again, I'm very fortunate to work for a head coach that gives us the time to do that. And I think we're only going to get better because of it.
I thought when you went in after the first part of practice, you and Chris Cluey and the guys played video games.
Oh, no, I'm not a big video game guy. I remember the old Atari. Remember that, Paul, the old Atari they had? The little, Pong?
Why would you reference me? Because I'm the old guy in the room. I'm the oldest one of all three of us. I remember Pong.
I don't know. Are you older than me? I was born in 66. When were you born?
66.
Wow.
We're like brothers.
I'd like to be your brother because you're going to be a head coach in the NFL one day, and I might need some cash. All right, Mike, thanks for the time. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate the opportunity. Have a great day.
Mike Prefer, special teams coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings, with some very interesting things in front of him. Mike Wapshaw. We're going to talk about Christian Ponder coming up here shortly, but rookie kicker, long snapper coming back from injury, opinionated punter.
Yeah.
And coverage units that are going to play themselves out during training camp. You know, you and I on the flagship and within the Vikings Live at Winter Park and stuff like that, you know, we talked a lot about special teams last year and with Coach Prefer, what injuries do to not only the body of a football team, but to the special teams units, where if you lose a player A at safety, okay, now immediately everybody's like, great, now everybody can go over the top on us. Our tackling's going to be bad on the back end. Safety play for the Vikings left a lot to be desired last year.
Sure.
But when you lose a safety who's really good on special teams, if the guy behind him is really good on special teams, he's now going to be the full-time safety, and that's going to take away from his energy level on special teams.
No doubt.
Which means you're going to take a little hit there. So injuries from a trickle-down standpoint, it's glitzy to look at Adrian's ACL and what it means to the offense. I get it. Things with defense, we get that too. But when you have injuries, it affects special teams in ways that are highly underrated.
Well, we can take a name from the past that's performed very well on special teams and use an example out of what you're saying. Let's say in 2008 or 9, we had an injury at linebacker, at outside linebacker, and you had to pull Heath Farwell from special teams and play him at linebacker.
Good example.
Your special teams group would take a big hit with not having Heath out there as much. And I think Jamarcus Sanford is another good example of that. You can say whatever you want, whatever your opinion is about Jamarcus Sanford in coverage playing defense. He's going to compete for that spot, and he might win it. But Jamarcus Sanford is an excellent special teams player. So when you look at the Vikings taking him in the 7th round and getting a player of Jamarcus Sanford's quality as a special teams performer, that's a great pick.
Yeah.
And he's a huge asset to the team as a special teams performer. And now it's that just makes the decision at safety, whenever that's going to be made, even more important. Do you play Jamarcus on defense? Do you play him on special teams? Do you play him on both? That's just one example of an internal battle that the coaches have to deal with and figure out as we get to and through training camp.
It will play itself out through training camp in the preseason. One question we forgot to ask him, and we should have put it in there, but we'll have more cracks at Mike Prefer via the Vikings Entertainment Network and Vikings Radio Network. But in closing here, Harrison Smith.
Yeah.
He's got to be a special teams guy. I mean, you take him late in the first round. He's a borderline elite tackler from a rookie standpoint. He played linebacker at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Had a zillion tackles as an outside linebacker. He wraps up well from the safety spot. You know, but he's also going to be a starting safety for this team.
One of our favorite players, Chad Greenway, you remember, first round, played linebacker. Unfortunately, he got hurt his rookie season, but he was going to play special teams. That's where he got hurt.
Yep.
And so
he got hurt on the very first kickoff of the very first preseason game against the Raiders.
Of his rookie season.
Of his rookie year.
Yeah. You know, and obviously he's bounced back great from that, and that's no surprise knowing Chad as we do. He's able to do that. But that's an example. Chad was a first-round pick at linebacker, and we had him playing special teams. And that, I don't think the Vikings are unique in that standpoint.
No.
Teams do that. And so I don't think it'll be any different for Harrison Smith, or at least if it is, I won't be surprised.
But so infrequently are the best special teams players in the NFL, when you hear their names over the course of the years, they're not game-changing players,
sure.
70 plays a game offensively and defensively.
Brendan Iambadejo.
Kasim Osgood, Heath Farwell,
right.
and names like that.
Yep.
How has Christian Ponder been performing this offseason at organized team activities? Let's talk about that and continue our discussion on Minnesota Vikings football via Vikings Tonight with Mike Wobschall. I'm Paul Allen. We're all here together on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Vikings Tonight, Vikings Radio Network, WobbyVikings.com. I'm Paul Allen, Deep Stretch, Christian Ponder. Week 2, organized team activities. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, we've had the theme, Paul, about 2012 being about Christian Ponder, and I think that's a good theme. I think we should stick with it because it is important, his development. That being said, it's also important for the Vikings to play well around him, and they did that at times last season.
Yeah.
They need to do it more consistently, and that's not a knock on the team. I think everyone on the team would acknowledge that, and that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
So I think we need to keep paying attention to Christian, but I think we need to not be hyper-analytical or hyper-criticize him because he's going to be fine. I mean, Christian was a first-round pick.
Yep.
He showed us flashes last season, and I think he's going to be fine. I want to play well around him, and I think we can do that.
This Jerome Simpson catch.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Can we see it at Vikings.com?
You can. Go there and see it. It
was
legit.
Well, what made it so special?
I know it's the middle of OTAs, and so it's It's easy to get excited about casual things.
And it came against Chris Cook, no picks in 12 games.
Right, but the thing is, even if we were in the middle of the season, it would be a noteworthy highlight caliber catch. I mean, it was
as
legitimate.
Good as the flip over Darrell Washington.
I mean, it's in that ilk.
It is not.
Yes, it is.
The flip over Darrell Washington and he
cool.
landed on his feet was unbelievable.
But here's the thing. That kind of put him on the map NFL-wise.
Yeah.
This catch, I think, puts him on the map Vikings-wise.
You know what? It's the greatest organized team activity catch that I think I've ever seen in my 11 years.
We're getting carried away. Here's the thing. It happened.
It's OTAs,
it was
though.
Team offense
was
versus team defense. Ponder launches the ball. It looked like it was going to be incomplete. He ran underneath it, and it was team offense versus team defense.
Yeah.
Everyone is watching. It's on the sidelines, and everyone is shouting and awing about it. It was a really cool moment.
Yeah.
Our VEN guys ran inside right away, put it up on the site mid-practice so that people could see it, put it on the Facebook page. It was really cool. It picked up a lot of traction on the internet. Uh-huh. It was fun to watch.
You can watch it at Vikings.com. A spectacular catch by Jerome Simpson over Chris Cook, who didn't know because I haven't been to organized team activities. Changed his number.
Yeah,
he's number 20.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've here and everywhere. We know what happened to Chris Cook in the offseason. We know why he was kept on the team last year and paid. But he wasn't included on the team, so they played a guy short every week. Court case played itself out. Here we are. How is Chris? Do you notice anything different about him outside of his number?
Yeah, I mean, different haircut. You said he changed his number. I think Chris realizes the gravity of the situation. He's going to try and earn his team's trust back.
Yeah.
And you know,
you're sensing that?
I do sense that.
That's key.
Just on the way he behaves, the way he acts.
Excellent.
His demeanor on the field. It's just, it all looks good. And
yep.
And you reference things that happened during last season and during the offseason. That's water under the bridge.
Yep.
What I'm going to look at and focus on now is what happens in front of us and what Chris does. And so far, it's been great.
Yeah, and he most likely will be a starting cornerback for the Minnesota Vikings, correct?
Yeah, I mean, that I think you project him to be that way, and you certainly hope that'll be the case.
Well, along with?
I think you put Antoine Winfield in the slot. I mean, Antoine Winfield over the slot playing defense, I don't know that there's many you'd rather have in that position. He's wise. He's a crafty veteran. He knows how to play in that position. He's quicker than fast. I really like Antoine there. I don't like the move him to safety bit. I like him right where the Vikings have him.
Excellent work this week. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Paul.
Mike Wobschall, Vikings.com. We thank Joe Nelson along with Jay Nelson with the Vikings Entertainment Network for producing the show. The coordinating producer, Allison Wobschall. Executive producer of the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network is Chad Abbott. And for all of us with the Vikings and the flagship, The Fan, I'm Paul Allen. That's Vikings Tonight, all across the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.